want to welcome you. And I know you guys are, there's some people who are still out of town. Some people are on their way back home, but we are here this morning. Thank you for coming. And if you're visiting with us, you are our special guest today. I want to welcome you to our home. This is our home. Meadow Creek is not our home, but you guys are our home. This is our home. The church is the people. You know, we've been talking about, I know Steve's been talking about how we are in the desert. And I want to talk about what it is when 2 weeks turn into 40 years, right? Now, from when they left Egypt to get to the promised land, it probably takes about a little over 2.5 weeks. But it took them 40 years in the desert, roaming through the desert. And I think sometimes we feel like that. We feel like I'm in the desert. Why am I in the desert? Why am I here? And if we don't know why we're in the desert, sometimes the desert can really just do a job on us. We can really get bitter towards God. God, I'm supposed to be further along. I'm supposed to have this career. I'm supposed to have this job. I'm supposed to be married. I'm supposed to be this. I'm supposed to be that. And I'm in the desert. And I'm thinking 2.5 weeks, I should be good. But God has taken us through the desert. So this morning, I want to talk to us about finding God in the desert. If you turn your Bible with me to Matthew 21, because if the desert does not refine us, it will kill us. Will you let it change you, or will it cause you more bitterness? You know, Moses was in the desert with these guys. You know, Jesus, after his baptism, went out to the desert. There's something about the desert that's refining us. You and I, we are spiritual Israel. And sometimes we find ourselves in the desert. Now, how do we find God in the desert? It's crucial that we find God in the desert. I have two simple points this morning. But let's read Matthew 21. We're starting verse 28. Let's read 28. It says, "What do you think?" Jesus speaking here. "There was a man who had two sons. He went out to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will go.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, 'I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believed him.'" You know, Jesus was talking to the leaders of that time, to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And they asked him, you know, before this, they asked him, say, you know, "By what authority are you doing this, Jesus?" But you know how Jesus always turns the table. He says, "Well, answer me this, and I'll tell you by what authority I'm doing this." He says, John's ministry, John the Baptist's ministry, his baptism, was it from God? Or is it from men?" And so it says that they went and they got together and they huddled. Let's huddle. What kind of answer do we need to give to Jesus? Right? So they said, you know, if we said it was from God, then Jesus is going to say, "Why didn't you listen to him then?" But if we said that it was from men, these people believe John was a prophet. They might stone us. So they go back to Jesus and say, "Jesus, we don't know." And so Jesus, then neither will I will tell you. I won't tell you by what authority am I doing this. And so you see the exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the religious people at that time. You know, and then he talked about the fig tree and how Israel was always compared to a fig tree. And then he got down to this. And Jesus, you know, what do you think? A man had two sons. The father went to the first son and says, go work in the vineyard. And this son completely disrespected his father. It was not a suggestion, will you please go work in the vineyard? He says, go work in the vineyard. He says, I will not go. But it says later he changed his mind and went. The second son, he came out and said, hey, will you go, you know, go work in the vineyard. I will go. And yet he didn't do what he said he would do. He didn't go. So Jesus, which of the two did what the father says? The first one. He says, you are right. As he's speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. My first point here is do what the father wants. In order for us to see the desert and to come out of the desert like what God wants us to learn from and to get out of, is we have to do what the Father wants. You know, many of us said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. We made that good confession. When you made Jesus Lord, it means you have died. You no longer exist. When they see you, they see Jesus. Jesus is Lord. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ in God, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. It says, you have died when you said Jesus is Lord. See, I think we claim obedience, but we will not obey. We are like that second son. We say, I will go. Jesus, Lord. We claim obedience, but yet we do not obey. He says the tax collectors and the prostitutes, a lot of the versions says harlots, the pagans, they're entering the kingdom before you. You are the chosen one. You were the chosen people, but you did not go. You did not do what the Father wanted to do. See, we obey, but we miss the heart of God because we are stuck with our own issues. Right. You know, obedience without relationship leads to bitterness, leads to resentment, leads to anger, disengagement, and entitlement. Obedience without relationship. That's what happens to us when we have no relationship with God and we simply just obey. We will feel entitled. Well, I deserve this. I deserve that. Well, I gave you so much of my life, God. Why is my life not the way that I think it should be? We become entitled because we have no relationship with God. This was my first car. Nice, right? It was a 1990 Honda Accord. I drove that thing to the ground. You just put oil and gas in it, it just went. But you know about, the thing about Honda Motor Company is that they never stop working. They're always producing new things, right? This... it's 2018 Honda Accord. I don't even know what that is. Compared to this. You know, but the thing about Honda Motors, you know, is that they have to change every year to compete with their customers and to compete with their competitors, right? If you don't change, if you don't make any changes, you will die out, you become obsolete. See, Honda's doing well. Honda's doing well. But I think sometimes in our relationship with God, it can grow old. And we rely on the yesteryears of the fat, I call it. How we live in the past. Well, I mean, God used to do this. I used to do this with God. God and I were like this. Were like this. Me and God. When I said Jesus was Lord, man, I shared my faith with hundreds of people. I used to do that. See, I think same thing with Honda. We have to change and evolve in our relationship with God. My wife and I, we've been married for 20 years. It'll be 21 in January. Now, she's amazing. I'm just here for the ride. And but the thing is, our relationship has changed. And I know if you're married, I know you are going through the same things. You were not back there when your honeymoon stage, which is awesome. But through the years, you have to change and evolve. I think our relationship with God is very similar. I think if we stay at one place, we will miss out on God. We got to be changing. Your relationship with God must change as you grow and mature. How can we find God in the desert when our relationship with God has not changed? And it's still that infant mentality. Are you listening to the Father? Are you doing His will? Obedience in a relationship. Can I just be honest with you guys? I'm not speaking as a father, although I might be some father to you guys. But let me just say I'm a brother. And what concerns me, you think about in America, we don't have a king, right? We have a president, we have a senators, we have, you know, we don't have a king or a queen per se. Now imagine if the Queen of England decides to come to worship with us on Sunday morning. We don't even know what that means, right? How should we act? Should we dress nice? Should we, you know, we can't touch her, right? There'll probably be bodyguards around her. Imagine the Queen of England comes. I'm going to worship with you guys. Comes in, probably sits in the front row. We probably have a good seat for her. And but the thing is, we come to worship the King of all kings. Right? We come to worship the Lord of all lords. We come to worship the God that created the world, the universe. And yet sometimes we come late. And sometimes we're out in the back. We were not even in when the music's playing, when they're preaching. We're half of the sermon, you're in the back talking and fellowshipping. And that concerns me. Because what that does is, what that means to me is I've lost an awe for God. The Queen of England, if she was here, we'd all be like, hey, let's get there early. I'm going to dress nice. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to be late. I wouldn't certainly be out there or in my car talking. I would be here. And that's just the Queen of England. Imagine God in our presence. And yet we don't see God for who He is. We're not in awe of God anymore. That's concerning. And I think about our kids, Glenn, stand up, Glenn. This is Glenn Hayes. And Galileo, stand up. Now, Glenn and Galileo, they help with the middle school ministry, right? They're teaching our middle school ministry. But what they find so hard to do is that when they start class, there's nobody there. There are a few kids who are there. And they want to start class. Glenn and Gal has been preparing this lesson for a week. And they're excited. I want to share this, you know, to the kids about God. And they have lives, they have jobs, they have families. But they took their time to prepare this lesson. And when they do it on Wednesday night or Sunday, the kids are not there. And it bugs them. And they're like, man, what? And they trickle in. And our middle school, they don't drive. And so it has to be our parents. Right? I hope your middle school is not driving. And so it has to be our parents. Are we in awe of God? Are we like, I got to get my kids to hear God's word. I got to get there early. I got to, you know, Glenn and Gal, let's be preparing this thing for my kid. They don't have to, but they want to. Are we in awe of God? Are we listening to God? Jesus is Lord. We think about the kingdom, the family groups. Well, I'm busy. Hey, let's get together and talk and pray and you know, be a family. Well, I can't. And I understand. We're busy. I understand. We're busy. We're busy people. We have things we got to do. But you got to make an effort to be there.
Right.
It's about your effort. It's about your attitude. It's about your heart. It's about Jesus is Lord. I will go work in the vineyard. Do I actually go? Or do I stop halfway and like, well, wait a minute. I got this thing to do. I got that to do. And we actually don't go when we say we were going to go. Are we listening to the Father? Walking with each other. The one another relationship. We all agree that it's good. We all agree, yes, one another relationship is good. But am I actively engaging it? Am I really actively engaging it? I want to talk about motivations here for a second. There's two types of motivations. One is called extrinsic, and one is called intrinsic. Most of our lives, we live over here, right? We live over here sometime, but most of the time we live here. It's reward-based, right? If you go to work and they say, we're not going to pay you anymore, you would stop going to work, right? If they say, hey, we're out of money, if you would like to come to work, please come and work. You'd be like, okay, no. It's avoid punishment. I'm doing this because I want to avoid punishment. I have to do this. We have a consumerism mindset. What do I get out of it? What benefits me? What personal gain do I get out of this? We are motivated by benefits. Heaven and hell. Heaven is a great thing, but it can't be our only motivation. And then over here we have intrinsic, inside. I want to. I'm enthusiastic. Sacrificial. It's about personal growth. It's a faith-based, I believe it. Becoming like Jesus. It's our faith. You know, we went to Dallas, and a brother said this, and it was so profound. It was so easy, but yet so profound. He says, you know, people will give to a need. When you see a need, you want to give. You will give to a need. But he says, people will sacrifice for a vision or a cause.
Right.
We will give to a need. But we will sacrifice for a vision and a cause. Do we see the cause? Do we see the vision? Or are you simply just trying to meet needs? Sacrifice. You know, but like I said, we live a lot over here. But you know, this thing right here, it changed my life. It completely changed my life. I used to live over here. I was probably over here. I'm off the screen. This thing happened, and it changed me. And I know it changed you too. But sometimes we revert over here. We default over here. We don't have it over here, where it's about personal growth. Becoming like Jesus. That's my goal, becoming more like Jesus. It is uncomfortable. It's in the desert. It's uncomfortable. But I want to be like Jesus, intrinsic. This morning, church, I ask us, what motivations are you at? Are you over here? Just, what do I get out of this? What do I get out of coming to church? Or are you over here when it's about God? It's about becoming like Jesus. My second point is do not reject Jesus. Let's read on. Verse 33. It says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time appeared, he sent his servant to the tenant to collect his fruit. The tenant seized his servant. They beat one, kill another, and stone a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time. The tenant treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenant saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard come, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretched to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scripture? The stone the builders reject has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because of the people held that Jesus was a prophet. Interesting parable here. You know, Jesus talks about a landowner. He says he rented out this vineyard to these tenants. And on the day of harvest, he goes out and he sends people to bring in the harvest, and they mistreated the people that he sent. And so he sent some more, and they mistreated them in the same way. And so finally he says, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send my son. They will respect him. So he sent his son. And more than anything else, these guys say, hey guys, here comes the heir. Here's the son. Let's kill him. In which they did. They killed him and they threw him out of the vineyard. And so Jesus says, what's going to happen to these people when the landowner, when the kings, you know, come? He says, he will bring them to an end. He will bring these wretched tenants to an end. You know, God has always sent people to us. In the Old Testament, God has always sent prophets to tell people about God. They mistreated some, they killed some, they stoned some. He sent some more, and finally he sent his son, Jesus. And we killed him. And we threw him out of the vineyard. He says, well, what's going to happen to us when God comes back? And here's what he says. Listen to this. He says, the stone the builders reject has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. God has done this. But because of our hearts, sometimes we reject God. And there's three reasons why I believe we reject God. Here's the top three reasons I believe that we reject God. Number one is pride. I don't need you. I am good. I don't need you, God. Some of you guys are studying the Bible, and you're coming to the end, and you're like, man, what do I need to do? And God's like, I'm right here. He says, I don't know if I need you, God. Do I need you like I need water and air? Do I need you? Second thing is worldliness. The world will pull and draw you away from God. It will pull you away from God. Let me read these scriptures to you. And it's so amazing. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful men, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has said and does not come from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desire passes away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. It says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Worldliness. I think sometimes we like to have fun, right? Christmas is coming. I like gifts, so if you guys don't like gifts, you know, bring it to me. I'll surely accept it for you. I keep telling my wife that's my love language, but she's like, no, that's not your love language. I'm trying to convince her it's my love language. But we like to have a good time. Christmas party, you know, gifts, families, fun. But you know how sometimes we get too close to the world. We party, and sometimes we go to these parties, and I'm like, is this a Christian party, or is this a party in the world? Like, I can't really tell. Are we trying to be holy, or are we trying to just be as close to the world? And we have the alcohol's flowing. Nothing wrong with alcohol, but the alcohol is flowing. We're just, you know, we want to get a little bit loose. And we're treading that line. Worldliness. Worldliness will creep up in the church. Worldliness will creep up in your life if you're not aware of it. You think you're having fun, but really it's you're stepping really close to the worldly line here. And then I think about the last thing is we love the darkness. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what has been done through God. We love the darkness. We are powerless sometimes with our sin. And yet we will not come into the light. We're enslaved. If you sin, you are enslaved to sin. And there are times in my life, I'm like, man, I wish I can just break out of this. But I find myself going back to that over and over and over and over again. And I'm powerless. And God says, come into the light. But I'm like, no, I want to beat this on my own. I can do this. And I know I can't. But I think in my mind I can. You know, some of us, we're living a double life. Some of us, we come to church and we're like, yeah, Jesus is great. I love this church. I love singing. Praise God. But we're living a double life. People say, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Me and Jesus are like this. I'm doing awesome. But you know deep down inside who you are. When you lay down on your pillow, you're like, man, I'm so fake. I hate myself. I'm supposed to be a disciple of Jesus. We reject God by living in the dark. You know, there was a daughter and a mother. Excuse me. Her mom was burnt from half of her body. And this young lady, this daughter, they grew up, the father left them. And but the daughter was so embarrassed by her mom because of her figure, her burnt. And so every time the mom would drive her up to a birthday party, said, "Mom, stay in the car, I'll just go, I'll run in. And when you come pick me up, don't come in, just honk, and I'll run out." And so the mom was like, "Okay, well, all right, I'll do that." And so the girls, everywhere she went, she was about 10 paces ahead of her mom because she did not want people to know that that was her mom. She was so embarrassed with her mom that she walked ahead. And so, so her mom got sick. She was in the hospital. And the daughter came to visit her mom. And she said, "Mom, why do you have to be so ugly?" And her mom didn't say anything. She says, "Mom, I'm so embarrassed when I go out with my friends and they talk about their mom, and their mom has this beautiful dress, and I can't even show you. You're not even there." And she kept silence. And so this little girl, she was so embarrassed about her mom and the way she looked. And so, you know, her mom says, "You know, can I tell you something?" She said, "When you were a baby, our house caught on fire. And I ran outside, and I remember you were in your crib. And I had to go back inside to get you. And I ran out, and the ceiling fell and burned on me. And this is why I look the way I am, because of you." And she was like, "Oh my gosh. All these years, I was so embarrassed by you. I didn't want people to see you. But Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Because it was me that you were trying to rescue, and that's why you have what you have now." You see, I think sometimes we look at Jesus and we're like, "Jesus, you're so weak. You can't do anything for me. I'm in this big hole. I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. I don't want to pray at school for my meal. What do people look at me like? What's wrong with that guy? People at work, I don't want to say too much about Jesus. Because what would they think?" See, Jesus rescued you. Jesus rescued us. He came and snatched us when we were going to burn up. The scar on his hands and feet. Jesus is the reason why we're still alive. Jesus is the reason why we're here. See, we cannot reject Jesus by living in the dark. We got to live in the light. You are more than that. You're worth more than the universe to God. And yet we cheapen ourselves to this sin. We've cheapened ourselves when we live in the dark. You're worth more than anything. God sent his only son to die for you because you're worth more than anything. Don't live in the dark. Don't reject God. You know, we hate when people take things away from us, right? We hate when people take money from us. "Oh, don't take my money. Don't take my food." We hate when people take things away from us, right? We hate it when our 401k goes lower and lower. And we're like, "Oh man, what's up with this 401k? What's up with the stock market?" We hate it when we lose stuff. We lose money. We lose time and effort. We hate it. But it says here, since God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. "Lord, They have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by God. There is a remnant chosen by God. He says, I will give this to the people who will produce its fruit. I don't want God to take the kingdom away from us and give it to another group that will produce its fruit. But that's what he said, I will do. Because you guys are not producing the fruit, I will give it to another person. We will lose the kingdom if we're not part of the remnant, if we're not part of God's people. He says, I will give it to another that will produce its fruit. We hate things being taken away from us. How about the kingdom? What if the kingdom was taken away from us because we did not produce its fruit? I don't ever want to say that God took the kingdom away from me, from us. We had the kingdom in our hand, but we let it slip away. We have to take back what is ours. Does that bother you, that God will remove the kingdom and give it to somebody else? The kingdom will move on with or without you, but you have to choose today. The kingdom will move on with or without you. I prefer with us. I prefer with you and I together. See, I believe you will find what you are looking for when you find God in your desert. You will find what you're looking for when you find God in the desert. And this morning, I just have two simple points to help us stir our hearts so that we can engage with God again. First is listen to the Father. Listen to what He wants. Actually do it and not just say it. Let's not just give lip service, but actually do it. Actually do what He wants. And then second is do not reject Jesus. You know, our sinful nature, our worldliness, you know, and our pride. Do not reject Jesus. You know, I feel like the Christmas, you know, every year is going faster and faster, right? It's Christmas already. And I can't believe it's Christmas again. But next year it's going to be like, oh my goodness, it's Christmas already, you know? And every year seems to be faster. That's what they say. They say, oh, people, times go faster, right, I guess. I don't know. That's what I heard. I guess it's true because I feel like it's going faster for me. So, but I don't want us to just coast in this holiday. I don't want us to. I want you guys to have fun too. But remember, hey, if I'm in the desert, let me try to find God in the desert. Let me figure out where God is, and let me listen to His voice, and let me do what I said I was going to do when I said Jesus Lord. Let me do that, and not just do what I think I want to do. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.